time for another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. For garden tools with more power and less noise, use Makita's cordless power garden tools. Power over 200 tools with one battery. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, baby, welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hi, Jane. Hi,
Here
Nick.
We go again for another cracking week of the good stuff.
Mm. Cracking week.
We will start at the top. I'll get to your weekend in just a moment. Congratulations to the Australian cricket team.
Yeah.
Hard to win the Ashes. Harder even still to defend them on overseas soil. We've done it the hard way.
You should have won
it. It's in the bag.
Yes, everybody's happy. Everyone's happy.
Boo us all you like, you stupid Poms.
Go, we've go, got for, go your hardest, you idiots.
Well, all right, Dave. Oh, geez, you've taken it to another level. Just vilified an entire nation.
All right.
We'll get to that a little later on.
Yes.
But we've got a big TV.
There's some big TV news about.
Give us an example.
Well, Scotty Cam is involved in an extraordinary spit.
Yeah, well, there's a brouhaha.
There's brouhaha that didn't even cross my mind.
There's accusations flying. He could be in a bit of hot water.
Well, I hope not, but we'll get to
that. I wouldn't have thought so, but you never know in the current environment.
Right. Now, you blew someone's surprise party.
I was wondering where that was going.
Me too. Ready for the dump button. It's early.
Hey, steady.
Hey.
We're going to talk about have you spoiled somebody's birthday? Because you did. Someone we know very well.
That was not my fault. I got bad information.
It sounds like it was your fault. We'll get to the bottom of that.
I stand by my behaviour the whole time. I call bullshit is back up and running.
Yes, it is.
Give me something from that.
Let's just say there's a brouhaha about a green dress and the unravelling of a marriage.
I love this. We might take calls on this. How do you find out your partner was a cheating bastard?
All right. And we've got a great guy coming in, Lloyd Langford.
He's
a funny bloke. He's from Wales. Okay. And he might know someone we know very well because they might be dating.
Oh, well, I don't want to get into that. I find, you know.
Really?
I do. He's on Have You Been Paying Attention Tonight?
He is tonight,
He's bloody funny.
Yeah.
I've seen him twice on that show.
Good
and
for him.
I like the cut of his jib.
Me too.
Whatever that means. We'll
now,
take
there's
your
a
course.
Very special guest as well today.
Oh, we do, yes.
Because finally, the movie you've been banging on about for a full year.
Rides Like a Girl.
Not Rides Like a Girl. The director herself, Rachel Griffiths, here in this studio.
We'll talk to her and we'll ask her, how good was I to work with?
Well, that'll be very... I really have a lot of questions to ask about working with you.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, all that and more, but let's start at the top. You're right, I was... The premiere of Ride Like a Girl.
Yes, was last night in Melbourne.
I couldn't go because...
You're too good for it.
No, I wasn't invited.
What do you mean?
A very small role.
You weren't invited?
No, I wasn't invited. I couldn't make it. I was indisposed.
I was invited, but I couldn't make it.
Oh, you mole.
No.
Why wouldn't you? Have you seen it?
I haven't yet, but you've
seen
it.
I've laid myself bare.
I'm going to pay like a punter. No need for the dumb button.
Thank you.
I'm going to pay like everybody else should and go and see the movie. It's a very exciting time.
It's an Australian film. Get behind it. I've seen it and I quite like it. I think it's a good...
I went the blub in the trailer.
There you go. I think you're there. So if you get the chance, there was some trouble though at the opening. Did you see it?
I vaguely saw some.
The protesters.
There weren't that many.
Went berserk. And so it's violence or...
I don't know.
It's an animal...
People don't like horses.
Animal liberationists saying it's cruelty. Animal cruelty, I think, was there.
I've never seen that in horse racing.
Good for them. I don't see it either. But they made their case out the front. Mm-hmm. And you go, fair call. That's the country we live in. Say your piece.
It was peaceful.
And then they've just jumped a shark. Like they've somehow got into the cinema and you go... You've got to lift some people.
Do you know how they got in? They bought tickets to the premiere, and that's how they got in. So they got in and they disrupted the opening speeches.
Why would you do
from
that?
Everyone.
So you that's go annoying. For this is like the vegan protesters. Who you go? You
we
know
get
what?
Your point.
I get
that's
your
okay.
point, and it is a good point, and I'm quite fair to do it. No meat
We're
Monday,
open
great.
To you.
I'm on, but don't stop me getting to work, or don't.
No,
I don't get the correlation between making your point and ruining it for everybody else.
Like, well, the good news is,
what's the point?
My sister was there because she worked on the film. She said they didn't ruin it because it was minimal and everybody loved the film and it was emotional. And so, you know,
now let's get
maybe it was exaggerated.
What did your sister say about my performance?
Well, she's a big fan of yours.
Is she?
I've talked to her around that.
I see, and
you don't work with him every day.
Was she moved?
That's not the word she used.
But was she overawed? Did I occupy that big screen, that silver screen?
You occupied every piece of the screen.
Well, you have to remember the camera adds 10 pounds.
It does.
In my case, mostly around the chin.
You put on 20 pounds, you said. They didn't ask you to. See, I'm doing your game.
But did she say, like, wow, there was a flood of programs, he just... Did she know Sam Neill was in it? Could she remember Sam Neill being in it?
Yes, she could.
Did I look good at least? Because she dressed me.
Did she?
She didn't dress you.
She did.
Did she?
Yep. And you should take a leaf out of her book. She's kinder and nicer to me than you have ever been.
Well,
and she's better
fair
at
enough.
Her job.
She doesn't have to work with you every
really
day.
She's really good at her job.
All right, that's enough about Karen.
What was your weekend? Hey, we're going to get to that. Come back. We're going to come back and
I'll
talk
tell you,
about
yes.
Wow. You went to
Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Dave, did you go?
Oh, I saw it
the
week.
Other week.
Yeah, I mean, a week ago.
All right.
Yeah.
If you want to hear how I was there and my ingenious move of how I got drinks. How I got alcohol, yeah.
All right, okay. Jeez. Find out more about that.
I didn't smuggle it.
Right after this, thanks to Makita with their cordless power garden range. You can find your authorised dealer at makita.com.au.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
That was your favourite concert, wasn't it? You love Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
You sat at the end of his bed and
interviewed
him.
Yeah, it was probably the show at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville that I really enjoyed that concert.
Oh, wow. Sorry we all can't go to a concert in Nashville.
So you went to
Fleetwood Mac
the weekend.
Yeah, with my girlfriend
Pia.
Because
you're a huge fan. For some unknown reason,
For some unknown reason. Okay. I've liked them since the Rumours album was released in 1970.
Overrated?
Sorry. No,
it's not. Name a good song on Rumours.
Go Your Own Way.
The right. Chain.
Chain.
Husk.
So I was sitting there.
Play it at the right speed.
Oh, shut up.
This is the right speed.
So that's the opening number. I don't want to spoil it for everyone.
Well, I think it's almost over, isn't it?
No, they're still going around the country. They've been here for ages.
So tell me this. Okay. You weren't one of these stupid people who stand right
from
the start.
No, I never stand in front of people at a concert.
It's really rude.
I know it's rude. Yeah. I don't like doing that.
Were you wearing like a gypsy dress? What were you doing?
I wish I was.
How you were getting into it.
Yeah. I wish I was wearing my gypsy outfit. Like a gypsy. No,
that's not bad.
Because
Stevie
Nicks is my hero. And
attached.
She had all her shawls. And all her hair.
Does a roadie bring out shawls for her?
No, she just disappears out the back.
It's
she
like
comes
she
out with another.
Shawls.
And she's got her fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
In fact, I was going to dress up today Stevie Nicks for you. I might do it for Halloween.
Crikey.
That's
can you give
do.
Me some notice?
Can you? I'm gonna do it for Halloween.
Don't just turn up like that.
It was really, really great. Do you know what? I did a genius move. So we were told you've got to be in your seats at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, sure.
So Pierre and I get there and we get in our seats, but we're right in the middle. So you've got to say, excuse me. All I can think of in my head is, how am I going to get a drink? How am I going to get a drink? The concert's about to start. Yeah. Everyone's
the voice
sitting
in
down.
Your head is constantly.
Did I say that out loud?
It's right now, isn't it?
So I'm going, I don't want to miss any songs. And Pierre's going, get a drink at the end of the concert. I went, are you a mad woman? It's 2 hours away.
So hip flask? What?
No. Yeah. No, nothing sneaking like that. So then Stevie says, I'm going to do a song now, and it's not from any of our albums. I go, here we go, get ready. And it was Black Magic Woman. It's a great Santana song.
Yeah.
But it was written by members of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah,
so I went, look, let's see how this goes at the start. Anyway, it goes on a bit.
Bang.
And I went, this is my cue. Out I go.
Like a time trial.
I am back before the song finishes. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. You know the worst time it would have been to go?
When?
Would have been during Mick Fleetwood's drum solo because everyone would have been out there.
That's true.
Everybody
caught on to that. That was amazing, by the way. Mick Fleetwood's amazing. They're 70. They're in their 70s.
I remember going to see Neil Diamond. I've told you this story before. I think you have the same experience. But we went to see him and it's doing all the old stuff.
Yeah, crunchy granola.
And then he goes, and now I'm going to play some songs off my new album, Soundscape. And I swear to God, The arena just drained. Everyone went to the bars, and everyone's out there drinking.
That's so funny.
Everyone's out there drinking, and someone stuck their head in and goes, "Oi, back into the old stuff." And everyone went back.
I saw that with Paul McCartney. He was playing all his songs, and it was beautiful. And then he said, "Now I'm going to play a song I've written for my new wife." And everybody just stood up and walked out. Just went,
just
see
play the hits.
Anyway, it was great. And Neil Finn was amazing.
For me. That's a good bar. Oh. Get to the bar, have a tinkle.
Neil Finn
selfies.
Was brilliant. Thank you, Neil. You were amazing. And
how great.
And Mick Fleetwood says that "Don't Dream It Over" is almost the perfect song, and they heard it years ago, and that's why they were so thrilled.
Is that your favourite Crowdhouse song?
Better Be Home Soon, probably.
Fall at your feet.
Distant Sun.
Weather With You. Anyway, it is about Fleetwood Mac. I loved it. The only criticism I think I have.
Here we go.
This is a big one.
Oy.
I'm hesitant to say it. Do I say it? All right, I will. I'm a rock chick, and maybe I'm a bit deaf, but I reckon they have turned it down a notch because they think the audience is going to be a bit older, and it wasn't loud enough to my liking. That's all I will
Turn
say.
Turn it up a bit.
Tusk.
Yeah.
Tusk.
No, they didn't. We've told you they didn't do Tusk.
Wait.
My
complaint would have been it's still too loud. Can you turn it right down?
No, you would have loved it.
You'd be converted. If you went to that show,
you
would
have
100%.
And I also.
Who's there? Who's in the crowd? Apart from
a mix of people.
Aside.
There was some idiot 19-year-old girls next to me going off dancing with their drinks.
Word?
And I thought, sit down. You weren't even born, you stupid girl. What are you doing?
Who supported?
Nobody.
Oh, you just come in late, did you? You're in a box, I'm
guessing. Nobody supports.
Were you in a box?
No, I wasn't
That's
in a box.
That's how you go these days. I know you.
I was not in a box.
Did you have like a professional, like a beer person to go and get
No. I told you I went and got my own drink during a song. So I did that anyway.
Why are your earrings so large today?
Because I've changed them up.
Is that because of...
Because I'm a gypsy.
Stevie Nicks used to do it.
And then you see a gypsy.
We're done here. Well done.
Get any Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
I like that. Gone. That's better. Finger goes up. Bounce. Superb captaincy. What a change. Labuschagne with the bat all series. It's Labuschagne with the ball.
And Ben Stokes is walking. That is a massive wicket for Australia.
Oh, big shot. What's he doing? Australia retain the Ashes. Magnificent game of cricket here at Old Trafford.
I'm really proud to be a part of this group of boys.
Very emotional. A lot of people put in some really hard work for this to happen. We've got one test to go to win the Ashes. It's nice we've got them coming back, but we'd like to finish this series off. We deserve to win the series completely.
Boom. Us all you like, you weak bastards. Cop that.
Yeah.
You had your ass served you on a plate. We should have won it last time, except for... interference from umpiring decisions, and we got you. We got you. We outplayed you from start to finish. Your behaviour, even the constant booing, which I don't want to appear a sore winner here, but it had nothing to do with them anyway.
Mm.
Over in South Africa, and let's be honest, they have a rich history of
not the best
of bending the rules. Anyone want to see a Joffa's passport? By the way, they actually changed the rules to get him into the World Cup team. So that's not cheating.
How about Joe Root?
About Joe Root?
Going like ducks that were like, that was like, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, well.
Cocky Joe.
Yeah.
Come on,
no,
much.
He's, anyway, can I just say what a great test it was. I mean, we've all seen the exploits of Steve Smith. That's on another level.
It's unbelievable.
Everyone around the world. I don't think we've seen it in our lifetime.
No.
Anyone dominate a test series to think he missed an entire test and is still the top scorer by a mile. Even in the second innings when they had to bat like crazy, he's knocked up 82 in quick time. And he's gone out twice now over 200, reverse sweeping. He's hard to get out.
So what a psychological...
He's a fierce competitor, and that was just one of the... In our lifetime, as I said, the closest comparisons you can make to Don Bradman are there. His last 8-9 test innings are just off the charts at test level anyway.
That's right.
He has no peer.
Well, well done. Also, well, Pat Cummins as well. You know,
Pat Cummins. Yeah. Well, he's the best bowler in the world. Has been for ages. Dominated. I remember when he burst.
So exciting.
When he burst onto the scene as a kid, and you'll remember after that, he had quite a few issues with health issues. Yeah. He was injured a lot. He was a big fast bowler who they couldn't get on the pack. But I remember seeing him in South Africa bowl a spell which was as fast and fiery as I've ever seen. And you can often see just a little glimpse of the future in a young fast bowler. And this was a terrifying spell of fast bowling that the South African batsmen still say.
Timing's sweet now, though, isn't it?
Up there with the greatest. Hats off, too, to Tim Payne, who copped a bit after certain decisions in the last test but was spot on.
Yep.
Absolutely spot on in this test.
Do we have to credit any of the Australian selectors now and say well played or well?
Well, I think we did that when he came onto the scene and was a steadying influence. But in this particular test, he got two things right. He got the declaration, which was quite aggressive.
Okay.
So you've got the Poms, who at the time they played dirty pool. The Poms, they would do their overrate. They knew they didn't want us to bat again. They didn't want us to declare. They knew this was on the cards. Their overrate was 7 minutes and so over.
Right.
It's
really
unheard of.
Right.
And in the middle of it, Payne was out there. Goes, you know what? Stuff this. He declared in the middle of the over. Went out. Came back and took two wickets in two balls and got the ball rolling.
Does he consult with anyone over that?
I think he's made a captain's call because he just had enough.
Good for him.
Of the stone wall. So there was that. And the decision to bring Marnus Lanashane on at the end when things were drying up a bit. He got it right. Australia got it right. And it just gives me great pleasure to take it. You don't see it often on their soil. And after their fairly shitty treatment.
And they're pretty happy too, those boys, aren't they?
They should be.
So congratulations
to
them all.
And my faith in Australian cricket has been restored.
Well, that's good because I was worried. Had gone.
Yeah, well, I'm back. By the way, and thank you, Channel 9, for ruining what is one of the great moments in Australian sport, always one of the great contests. And you put it again. I was able to watch on Friday night. I was able to watch on Saturday night. And then you decided the block was too important. He went back to gym where about a handful of people I know could not get it. And it's terrible because I got to miss what Todd Woodbridge said about the game because I was really looking forward to seeing him decipher.
You should have come round to my house and sat on the edge of my bed and watched it with me.
Not again. I refuse to do that again. But just great to hear what Todd Woodbridge had to say.
I know, you're a big fan.
As a cricket fan, I just think it's fantastic. Makes me wonder why they bothered with Richie Beno all these years. Why didn't they just get Wally Masur to host
Good idea.
The...
Why don't we ask?
What about Osher Gunsberg? Do you reckon they rang Osher and said, hey Osher, the most revered sporting contest in Australia.
Osher might be busy with the horse racing.
It could
be calling the Melbourne Cup.
But gee, well done. It's great respect shown by the Nine Network too.
Do you want to hear
the greatest. Hear what?
Some of the highlights. I like hearing it.
We've already played it.
Don't you listen to anything that happens on it?
I want to hear it again.
Do you only listen when you're talking? I think we've done it.
I just like to not hear it.
Do you know
what
we're talking about?
It's test cricket. I do. Okay.
Do you want to start the whole break again?
No. My apologies.
Hey, hats off, boys.
Yeah, well done, Australia.
Go hard. Sing the song. Go nuts. Have a ball. Come home victorious. Well played, lads.
Coming up, Lloyd Langford.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Rachel Griffiths is going to join us in the second hour. Lloyd Langford's coming up.
She directed
soon as well.
Me.
Yeah, Ride Like
she
a Girl.
She had the great privilege.
Did she really like
that? I've directed me. When I say directed me, well, she ushered me into the right areas. But you can't direct this. This is lawless.
Right. I see.
I'm instinctive.
Sort of buyer beware.
I think
I tried a few accents.
Did
she didn't like.
Yeah, she probably didn't like that. I'm just worried that she's definitely put you in the film and you're definitely in it.
I'm in
it.
I've seen it. People are talking about it. It's a game changer, they say.
Okay.
You know what it is? It's a moment in cinematic history.
Is that what it is?
Well, I think
Dave.
Okay. This is the way that we're now going to publicise the film.
Have you been on the big screen?
Yes, I have.
In what?
Dorothy and her friends. Yep.
The Wiggles.
Yep.
The Wiggles, eh?
I've been on the big screen.
You've been on the big
My teeth look huge on screen. Okay. They're big choppers anyway. While on screen, I got a bit frightened.
My chins are a bit over. I need certain lighting or else it's a bit jab of the hut. Real quick. Dave, have you ever...
Keep the camera high.
No, never been on the silver screen. I've been on TV before.
You'd be a terrible actor.
What do you mean? I'd be adorable.
You can barely do dangerous, Dave.
That is true.
All right. Now, we're going to do a TV break. Do we have a TV opener or are we not
bothering?
We've
got Jane's Entertainment Report.
She's read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source, so you don't have to. Jane Kennedy's Entertainment Report.
Drama on the block.
What?
Whoa.
Mitch and
finally.
Mark.
Finally, something.
Well, I've got to say, Channel 9 are pretty happy about this on last night.
By the way, can I just point out, sorry, Jane, the block, which had removed the greatest sporting contest in Australia to a minor channel gem.
Well, you're about to be entertained by what was taking place when you could have been watching the Ashes being
retained. What was so important we had to bump the
All right,
Ashes.
It's the judging of the bedrooms. The rooms. And Scotty Cam is...
It's not very good, is it?
What?
Like the rooms. They're like display homes, aren't they?
High end.
Today, the rooms are top... Yeah, spend a fortune. They're great. They're great.
Who moves in? Middle class people who have ambitions to be a little bit better than they are.
Who overspend.
Don't accept it.
They can't afford and have to sell it after
people
about
who go
a year.
To the theatre for a little bit of titillation. Middle class porn, I call theatre. So you know what I'm talking
Feel
about.
Feel better? Now... Scotty Cam is usually just the messenger, and he gets to report back on what the judges say.
Right.
So he was telling Mitch and Mark, a couple, what the judges had to say about their room. Okay. Now, what ensued, I'm going to play it. It's pretty long. It's a minute. Are you ready?
I can handle it.
But this will tell how it escalates, and it's caused a bit of a brouhaha. You listen and you tell me what you think of this.
This is very clever planning to present a potential master bedroom on level 2 of your home to get away from the noisy people in your place.
There's no noisy people.
No, I just added that bit in.
No, but there's no... I think people
just
need...
the raw you
no,
are.
No. People need to cope with the fact that there are multiple living spaces in all metropolitan homes and they need to actually step away from it because they have no idea. Yeah. It is a living space as any house in any suburban part of Australia has. Yeah. And if they're making a judgment about us, because they've often said people like us, I need to understand what does that mean? Are you judging us?
I certainly don't think they're making a judgment about you guys personally.
Well, it's that
they're making a judgment about having an entertainment space
not an
next
entertainment.
Door to a master
it's not an
bedroom.
Entertainment space.
It's not
it
an entertainment
living
space.
Area.
And you need to move away from that. It's a living area. And
I don't
fact,
need to move away from nothing, mate.
Okay, well...
I'm the one reading the feedback.
In terms of the feedback, then it's wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I don't think it's wrong, but anyway.
Well, we do.
Fair enough.
We agree to disagree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely, Mitch and Mark. I'm the messenger here. So don't tell me to move away from that feedback because I'm just reading it out.
Wow. Hey, everybody, settle down. Come on, we're all friends here in reality TV, aren't we?
Sort this out in the octagon.
That
got frosty real quick.
That got frosty.
So can I see?
There's a bit of defiance from Scotty.
Now, you know I'm not the brightest spark and my social skills aren't great, but can I give you my reading?
Yeah.
The gay couple have taken it as you're judging our lifestyle as being gay. Scotty, he's maintaining he didn't do that.
Yep.
He was just suggesting that you look like party people.
Right. No, well, but, see, now when I first saw that...
I'm confused.
I went...
Why are they arguing?
Yeah, no, but you're right. The press have picked it up and they're rolling with that because...
But there's a definite argument
The boys
there.
Were saying people like us. Now, I didn't even, when I thought I'd play this today, it never crossed my mind that this was going to be an argument about being... you know, gay. I didn't think that was... I thought it was just a really good spat and that they're both giving as good as they can.
Yeah.
And Scotty was really annoyed with them. And the fact was, putting a bedroom next to a living room, a master bedroom, I don't think either is a great idea.
But
and that's what they were just
they
saying.
They obviously thought he was having a bit of
they
fun
thought
at
he
the
was,
idea
yes,
of gay guys.
Having big parties. Well, it's only gay people have parties. I don't know.
So maybe Scotty Cam's idea of like the way gay people behave is just like a room full of the village people. by the way, Scotty in that hard hat does look a bit like the old construction worker who's let himself go a bit.
We've told him that
over time.
We've said that before, but these
guys—is there something in it?
I don't think so.
Because what's going to happen here?
This shouldn't be anything for Scotty. He was not being homophobic at all.
I wouldn't have thought so, but they might be overly sensitive to it. This isn't my strong suit, as you could imagine.
Yes, I can imagine.
I haven't come out yet.
In fact, I'm worried about every word coming out of your mouth right now. I'm going, holy
can we have a Can we have a sit down? Could we have a guys?
With Mitch and Mike.
Yeah. We may Mitch have been Mark. Suggesting that to type, we thought you were just going to party.
I think they'll get over it. They'll all get over it and we'll move on because the publicists have probably just been.
However, this is the type of thing in the modern era that it can be a career ender.
Well, it can.
You know, if you can go down, I'll bet you apologise quickly. Because.
And he has.
Oh, has he?
He's had to apologise because.
He admitted what he said was.
No.
I'm confused again.
Listen. He's apologised if it upset them, but he was not implying anything to
What was the room like, by the way?
It was not my taste.
I want to see the party room.
Yeah. It's not a party room.
Has it got like a mechanical ball?
Oh, it's a party.
It's a
Really? Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
And by the way, if you've got an apartment, you can do whatever you want with the rooms. You shouldn't be able to say, you can't put one there.
Yes, you can, because the judges didn't score them highly because they said, we don't think your planning was, and that's what the feedback was.
But when you plan a house, you don't plan with your neighbours involved, quite
frankly. They're trying to win a competition.
So you're
they're trying to win the most money and decorate a house or
an
apartment.
I think your comments are homophobic. I really do.
Of course.
And possibly racist. Yep. What colour are they?
I think they are. And ageist as well, while I'm at it.
And sexist?
No. Yeah, probably.
Oops, now I'm in trouble.
They are trying to design a place that's going to get the biggest.
Do I look like I care? Do you know who I'd like to see doing
interior design? You're about to blow my head off.
Interior design on that show.
What's that?
Jeffrey Epstein.
That's just stupid.
No, you know, he's got these great ideas for interior design. He's got the inflatable doll hanging from a chandelier.
Yeah, that's great.
And, you know.
No wonder you're not on reality TV.
Nude Bill Clinton in a dress. I mean, come on.
We might have to wind
this up. Yeah, I think we're done.
With the challenge.
You in a dress.
Hey, guess that's as good an intro I could think for our next guest. Oh, what do we know about this fella?
I'll tell you about Lloyd's just going to go, what the hell have I come on?
This is a good day, Lloyd.
Kennedy
Malloy. He's going to join us next.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We loved our next guest, Lloyd Langford's last appearance on Have You Been Paying Attention?
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these before. It's called a jig. In other words, a cattle prod.
Why is Pauline holding a cattle prod, Lloyd?
Is it that she wasn't getting anything from her vibrator anymore?
I don't think she's upside.
I've never seen the mud cow holding the cattle prod.
We also discovered this Welshman's quite the romantic when his partner, Ian Edmonds, last joined us.
He's a lovely person and wants to hold my hand and stuff like that, which isn't that nice?
Good on you, Lloyd.
That's lovely. Yeah. I'm okay with him out and about just on our own, but in front of his parents.
Hey, well,
we didn't
his
have
parents.
Sex in front of him.
Ahead of his return to Have You Been Paying Attention, 8:30 tonight on 10, please welcome to the show, Lloyd Langford.
Well, welcome, Lloyd, to the show. Is it weird hearing your girlfriend, Anne Edmonds, talk about you on the radio?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
You hadn't heard that before.
No, is it an issue for you, holding hands? Do you always initiate it? Or
I think she doesn't like public displays of affection.
No, she doesn't. She's made that very clear, but you're still together.
Because I'm in Australia, though, and I don't know anyone, and I don't mind.
Oh, it's okay. Have you been a hand holder from way back? Did you always hold girls' hands?
Only with their consent.
I can imagine.
Hey, we'll get to have you been paying attention in just a moment, but you're out here. Are you living out here now, Lloyd?
I'm kind of spending my time in between London and Melbourne.
Yeah, after a visa, Sounds
very international.
Can I ask, what happened in Wales? You know all I know about Wales?
Yes.
They have the best flag of all the nations anywhere. This is the extent of my knowledge. This begins and ends here. It's the greatest flag. It's got a dragon on it. Is it a dragon or a rampant lion? It's a dragon.
It's a big old red dragon.
So what is that? It's green. How did that come about? What's the story behind your flag?
I guess you can design your own flag and
dragon's
competition
mythical.
Winner, is it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it goes back many years.
Yes, and I have done stand-up comedy before about how stupid the Welsh flag is, and let me tell you, Welsh people get very angry. And they love people really take their own nationality's flag seriously.
What's your beef with the one Welsh flag? Yeah.
Well, because we've never had any dragons.
I was going to say, it's not indigenous to Wales, is it? The dragon.
I thought, like, we used to have dinosaurs. They could have put a dinosaur on it.
That's right. Now, coming from Wales, most people from Wales. Welsh people. That's the term.
Thanks.
Have
Help
beautiful
her out.
Singing voices. Can you sing?
Who are you talking to about?
The Welsh.
Who in particular?
Heaps.
Susan Boyle.
Tom Jones, Susan Boyle.
I don't think Susan Boyle is Welsh.
Actually, he said Susan Boyle, not me.
Do your research.
Tom Jones is Welsh.
Shirley Bassey.
Shirley Bassey is
Shirley
Welsh.
Shirley Bassey, with the big brassy sound of
well,
Shirley
what,
Bassey.
And so my
no
questions.
One does a Bond theme like Shirley Bassey.
Goldfinger.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. Wow.
Can you sing?
Jane, you've heard my voice. What do you think?
No, you can't. That's no. Really amazing.
I used to do youth theatre and I soon discovered
well, that's
that
sad.
I can't.
youth theatre in Wales.
Jeez, yeah. Okay, there's another whole break.
mainly to find girls I could hold hands with. and yeah, I can't sing or dance, so they used to put me at the back of the stage and I had to mic.
So you can't, you're not triple threat.
What was your greatest role? What was your greatest role in youth theatre? What are you known as?
I played Stefano in a production of The Tempest.
Wow. Mm. Was there a flutter of programs when you came on stage?
A flutter of programs?
Yes. Everyone's going, who is he? Look
who's
at
this incredible Shakespearean talent?
Lloyd who?
Oh, my God. Lloyd Laver. Remember that name.
Look at the presence of Stefano. He owns the stage.
We're not having a go.
Sorry.
If you know the play, then he's essentially a drunk that gets washed up on an island. So I think I was typecast.
Oh, seriously.
Welcome to Australia.
That's right.
All right, so that, yeah, but, and you were talking about singing, so.
Well, no, I'm off the singing because Lloyd doesn't sing, but what I was going to talk about.
You don't know much about Wales, do you? You don't know much about the singers or the.
No, we've established Shirley Bassey and Tom Jones. That'll do.
You said Susan Boyle. You're the only one that's got a wrong answer.
The world. How have you enjoyed
you
the world?
Are sure she's not Welsh?
No.
I thought she was
a sad cat lady in a old, like a
I would,
English
I heard
flat.
She was an old Welsh virgin.
Actually,
she's
I think.
Sitting in a cottage
I
on
think
her
you've,
own.
I think you've got two out of three there.
Someone's doing the. She's Scottish.
Yes.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Oh, that's not what the Welsh like to hear.
I didn't come on this show to witness racism.
You didn't. Now, do you travel much? You've just said that you're travelling a lot, and I've heard a whisper that you're about to go to Dubai. Is that correct? Is that for a gig?
Yes.
Now, how does that work? Crikey. One gig in Dubai. Now, did you happen
so
to meet
no alcohol. Royalty? How do you do stand-up in a country that has no alcohol? What happens in a venue?
What is that about?
It's very difficult to do comedy in Dubai. You have to be very careful. certain words are illegal.
Really?
To say on stage.
And will you perform to women or is it just men?
No, I think it'll be a mixed audience. It's mainly expats.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
well, that's a good idea.
What words are illegal?
Well, I mean, I could say the word on the radio and you get into a lot of trouble.
Well, if it's illegal here, it's hardly a story, is it? Why would you bring it up?
Is it a swear word?
Yes, it's a swear word.
Well, that's probably illegal everywhere, isn't it? Hey, we're going to go to a...
She's poo-pooed his story about how difficult it is in...
No, I don't mind.
Are you happy to come on now? Are you feeling
I'm usually quite professional.
Go to a song or an advert.
Well, we'll do and we'll come back. Now, have you been paying attention tonight, though? Do you know who's on with you?
I will tell you when we come back from this.
Well, no. I want to know now.
No. Keep us surprised.
Who?
Oh, Amanda Keller is on tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Hayley Sproul.
Yes.
Sam Pang, Ed Cavalier.
Overrated.
And our guest in studio, Lloyd Langford.
Excellent. You will blow them off the
8:30 tonight on Channel 10. Stand by.
More with Lloyd after this.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And our special guest, Lloyd Langford, in studio, who's on Have You Been Paying Attention
the
tonight?
The corgis from Wales.
Yes, it
did
is.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you offer that when I said...
tell us some other stuff that's from Wales.
You were asking me about Welsh singers.
What about Welsh rabbit? Come on, that's got to be a shoo-in.
I think the equal sign was invented in Wales.
Really?
What about Bill Frost? I've got in front of me. Bill Frost was a Welsh inventor who apparently took to the air 8 years before the Wright brothers. Oh. Why wouldn't you bring...
Because they're a bit low-key in Wales.
Julia Gillard was born in Wales, I've just
been
informed.
Yes, she was too.
Yeah, Bridgend.
Right.
Yeah, she used to be your...
Sounds a bit stalkerish. So you often
she's another redhead too, so maybe there is a bit.
Where
of
can people see, apart from Have You Been Paying Attention yes. Tonight, which will be a cracker, it always is, one of my favourite shows. What are you doing gigs around town at the moment? Are you touring? What have you seen of Australia that you've absorbed?
I have to go to Dubai on Wednesday to do a gig.
Wednesday.
But I've been in Sydney the past week.
How did that go? Do you like Sydney
yeah,
as a town?
Yeah, it was great.
What's your best bit?
I went in a sea pool, which is a swimming pool.
Oh, down yeah. Bondi Beach there.
Seawater.
Yes.
Yeah. And it had sea urchins in, and occasionally a shark goes in there as well.
That's what you fear is going to happen, but it doesn't happen often.
Everyone has to get out. And on the... On the walk to the sea pool, we passed a old man with his grandchildren just walking the dog, and the kid was about 5 or 6, and he said, "Grandad, when will you die?"
Just a charming Sunday stroll.
Give that man his own show. Oh, that little boy, that sounds great.
That's great.
Well, we're happy to have you here as a guest in our country.
And thank you.
Yes. Want to tell us a bit about Anne at home? Is she a bit hard? Is she...
Does she wear the pants?
She's constantly telling me off for slurping drinks. I'm a slurper.
All right.
Generally, as a rule, women don't like that.
No.
Slurp a tea.
It's not like a conscious thing. Like, I'm not
trying.
So you could control it if you tried, Lloyd.
I do control it after she tells me off. And the other thing is...
You guys be quiet on soup night.
The other thing is that I snore. And she doesn't deal with that well.
Well, women around the world, that's a common thing.
So we've tried the nasal strips on the nose. I've tried a special form.
Top and tail? Have you tried top and tail?
Well, the technique we're using at the moment is she punches me in the head.
I like that.
That sounds like it's got a lot of success with it.
Thanks for swinging by.
We will look forward to seeing you on Have You Been Paying Attention tonight, 8:30 on Channel
Susan
10.
Susan Boyle, I would have sworn as well.
Can you, Scottish, they're all the same to you, aren't they? Yeah.
Lloyd Langford.
What was that?
Thank you, Lloyd. Kennedy Malloy.
Good on you, Lloyd. Thanks.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, and it promises to be a big one. Make no mistake about it. Hey, coming up, I may or may not get time to do this.
What's that?
Chick flick alert.
Oh.
I've got two. They need to be assessed. Okay. One is something that's been mooted. It hasn't been made yet.
Oh, really?
But mooted.
Okay.
But I repeat, gents, it's a chick flick alert, a genuine one.
I love those. Don't forget, I Call Bullshit. I've got that coming up.
All right, give us a sample.
Katie and Tom back together.
I Call Bullshit.
Please.
Just
you're
a taste.
Stretching it now.
I am.
Okay.
Also, have you ever ruined someone's surprise?
Are you going to persevere with this?
I'm going to persevere because someone I know, someone I'm looking at.
I was let down by people around me.
Okay.
I did everything
that's how
right.
You're sticking with it.
Adam Rosenbach, who will be in to defend his behaviour, at least on the line. Mm. Very shortly, we'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets. But let's start off with an Australian icon.
Our next guest, Rachel Griffiths, first big break was in the film Muriel's Wedding.
Oh, by the way, I'm not alone. I'm with Muriel.
It was set her on a path to Hollywood with a string of successful movie and TV roles, including her multiple Emmy-nominated and Golden Globe-winning performance.
Winner is Rachel Griffiths.
In 6 Feet Under.
I use sarcasm to hide how ridiculously vulnerable I really am.
Now, Rachel's returned to Australia to make her directing debut in the film Ride Like a Girl, based on Michelle Payne's history-making moment at the 2015 Melbourne Cup.
Who's that riding your horse, Betty?
A woman jockey.
The girl's never going to win the Melbourne Cup, mate.
Michelle Payne gets up to win.
And even stars our own Mick Malloy.
Another pain, eh?
Yeah.
Is that tap ever going to be turned off?
Here to tell us all about it ahead of the official release September 26th, please welcome to the show, Rachel Griffiths.
Well, it's a privilege after all this time, after a year of speaking about this great movie, to have the director herself in, and
well,
we have to give great kudos.
And the star. Don't forget her muse.
Sorry, it's not all about you. Can I just even introduce Rachel Griffiths? Welcome to Kennedy Malloy. I feel like we've mentioned you nearly every day since Mick has been starring in this great film of yours. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a ripper. Destined to be a great Australian film.
It will be a great Australian classic.
It's a great story, and you've told it beautifully.
Can I just point out, Mick has been saying the film's called Rides Like a Girl.
Oh, well, look.
And I've had to correct him.
That was an early draft.
Don't look up Rides Like a Girl.
It's extraordinary what a difference an S can make.
Yes, it is.
In the meaning of something.
Big fan of both films. So let me just say this. You are incredible. You've created an incredible film. I may have overplayed my own hand in this film just a tad, I think.
You reckon?
But I was happy to be on board. Tell us what it was like to direct your first feature film.
Very overwhelming. I say a bit off a lot and had to chew hard.
Well, you did. You chewed it up, spat it out.
You didn't pick just a small story, did you? You've got horses.
Yeah.
You've got to recreate the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah. And not just horses, but thoroughbreds.
And thoroughbreds,
they're their own unique species.
You didn't limp in, did you?
No. I think that's that thing, especially, you know, I'm 50 years old. If you're going to fail, fail greatly. Look, it takes 4 years from having the idea to do a film to bringing it to market, and I just can't imagine doing that unless your entire intellectual and emotional system were utterly captivated and hijacked by a story, and this film is the right film for the moment.
Do you remember where you were when she won this Melbourne Cup?
Did
this story almost come to you immediately? Did you watch her win a cup and go, my God, I have to tell this story?
That is how my brain works.
Yeah.
You're watching with girlfriends.
I was. Rachel Ward once described me as a tornado, which I took offence to at the time, but I think it actually is probably a pretty apt description of my mind, and stuff is always swirling and flying around. No, I was at a barbecue in Brighton.
Okay.
And quite a lot of artists there, and uniquely apparently artists, because of the paints or thinners they work with, don't have boys. So there was a whole pile of girls and one boy, my son, at the party. And everybody had their little slips, and, you know, we wafted in fairly half-assed to watch the race because, you know, I'm not a girl of track born.
No.
And I don't even remember what little slip I had, actually. At the 400, we heard Prince of Penzance for the first time, and then she crossed the 3, and that's when I heard Michelle Payne on Prince of Penzance. Mm. I was like, is there a girl racing? A girl's jockeys?
What the hell?
And then all the girls in the room just dropped their little piece of paper. They just all fluttered out like an explosion. All started screaming, go, Michelle, go, Michelle. And when she won, they all went bananas. And everyone at the party will testify. Within 5 minutes, I knew the whole Payne history. we'd met Stevie. She had had her little speech just in case I wasn't in love with the story.
Everything was falling into place in storybook in a fairy tale. Unfolding before you.
It is a fairy tale.
It
and,
is.
You know, I love a Disney princess film, and I don't say that ironically. I really do love them. And she is a Disney princess. She lost her mother at 6. She has an unconventional dream, you know, which every Disney princess has to have some dream.
And she has the beautiful father who brings her up.
She has this beautiful father. You have to have a beautiful father in a Disney princess film, even though they can be eccentric or,
flawed.
Little flawed and not normal. And you overcome adversity in
that's
the naysayers. True. And
then you have the beast, as in me.
How dare you? How dare you?
And someone pointed out the most beautiful aspect, which I can't believe this hasn't occurred to me, is that she meets her prince in the final third of the film, and together they cross the finish line and make Australian history. Her Prince of Penzance.
Get me a ticket to this movie. Hey,
also, too, park the idea that a woman has won the most famous race in Australia, if not the world, for the first time, but racing's one of the few industries where the fairy tale actually does still come true, where the wealthiest man in the world can come out here and try and win that race, spend $1 billion plus trying
to win it
over 20 years and not get it.
I was for him last year because I'm always for the underdog. And I'm like, go Sheikh Mohammed. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's quite in line with my feminist values.
He needs a break.
I just want him to keep spending billions.
In our industry.
In our industry.
But it's still where, you know, or a taxi driver can own a horse that then goes on to win it as
tuna fisherman.
A tuna fisherman. It still gives everyone a little bit of hope, this whole race. It's culturally significant. They still, the prisoners in Changi in the Second World War used to have a Changi Cup, and on Melbourne Cup Day, they had an old tin mug they used to bring out, and they used to do it. That's right. And it was out here recently. I went to a funeral. This is a true story. I went to a funeral of an old man, a friend of mine, Leo Brooks, who was over 80, and he died. And let's just say he was a colourful character. A lot of the people there were racing identities, possibly underworld. But in the middle of the service, they started giving out race results. So you hear, and Leo, of course, was a man of good, correct weight, Randwick, correct weight, Randwick. And I know, how good is this? And it's part of our culture. It's such a beloved part of our character. No, it's in our genes.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's really interesting. I grew up Batler Catholic, and my dad used to take me to Caulfield.
It's a good name for a horse.
Batler Catholic. We're into that. I love a grey, by the way.
I don't win that often.
But Batler Catholic.
Everyone get on the grey.
All right.
Give us Batler Catholic, the grey. We'll put a collar on it.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe not. But, the track was somewhere where Catholics were welcome, Jews were welcome.
Yes.
You couldn't get into the Melbourne Club. You couldn't get into the Athenaeum Club. Couldn't get into the Savage Club. But any of the track clubs would take you. So
that's right.
Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, Presbyterian, all welcome.
Very democratic.
Very democratic. And you're absolutely right. It's where the bush and the country meet. It's where old and young come together. And
you don't have to bet. You can go along as well.
But it's more fun if you do.
let's not go mad.
Okay. I just tossed that in there.
They have a racetrack in Dubai. Where they have one of the wealthiest races in the world. Yeah. You cannot gamble and you cannot drink. I don't care how much the prize money. You'll never see me darken that doorstep. Can you hang around, Rachel? We've got more to talk to you about.
Rachel Griffiths is with us, by the way. Ride Like a Girl in cinemas September 26th.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Rachel Griffiths with us in studio. Ride Like a Girl in cinemas September 26th.
Now, did Sam Neill get to you at any stage? Because it was described to me as a two-hander between me and Sam. And then by the time it was edited, I do feel some of my best work must have been left on the floor.
Rachel, you're an actress as well, so you can answer this as best you like.
We had to cut quite a bit of material, Mick. The accent kept slipping.
What accent?
Sometimes you didn't sound as Ballarat as we'd like.
As Ballarat.
I could hear that.
The Bendigo twang.
I could hear the Bendigo twang. No, in actual fact, the only person that impacted, the change of the film was, once we were watching Rushes of Stevie, everybody started to realise that we're onto gold. And
yes.
Elise McCready, the writer, would call me and she goes, "Oh, my God, Stevie, he's stealing the film." She goes, I've got another idea for a Stevie scene. So she was sending these Stevie scenes through. So he ended up with three or four extra scenes. And
Stevie's cut my lunch.
At your peril.
Yeah. So call up Stevie. And,
I will. Don't you worry. You tell Stevie he's made a very powerful enemy in this industry. Sam Neill is just unbelievable. Jane's a good friend and we hang out a lot. Me and Sam have been known to do an acting work class at 3 a.m. and he is just wonderful. It's not bad. But he's just wonderful in this film. It's so beautiful what he brings to the table.
Oh, he so embodies Paddy, and I think we forget that Paddy is a Kiwi. He's not actually your quintessential Aussie country bloke.
Sam being a Kiwi, that's perfect.
Exactly. He's got this kind of reserved, he's got a phenomenal work ethic, which he, inflicted on his children.
Yes.
And we think of Sam as being an Australian actor, but in many of his qualities are more, I think, that Kiwi.
Paddy's come out of it very well as well to have Sam Neill playing him, I would say, of all actors in the world.
Well, Paddy's not impressed by much, so.
No. I don't think he'd seen many of Sam's work.
Yeah.
He hadn't seen much before. I certainly don't think he'd ever seen Jurassic Park, for starters.
I love that quote of Paddy's when he's asked, did you think when Michelle was young it should be the one? He goes, "Oh, no, I didn't think much of her, really." And it just makes me feel so much better about my parenting. When you're always like, "I'm a bad mum, I'm not building my children's egos up enough."
This time last week, we watched the Sunday program with Melissa Doyle, and she interviewed both of you, as a matter
That's
of
right.
fact. But you had some lovely things to say about working with Sam.
You can have an A-list actor like Sam, but he still needs someone wonderful to play with. And that's just so clear in this film. He makes everyone better. He kind of steals the film. Him and Mick Malloy.
You saved it right at the last minute, don't you think? I was a calming influence for Sam. I was like a teaser pony.
It is one of the great... I do love the pet, the accessories that the great racehorses in the world. I'd like to see a book just on those.
On the teaser pony.
Just on the, you know, the little pigs that... there's that whole menagerie of animals.
These
that,
thoroughbreds, these absolute laboratory-built racehounds, and then they won't turn up to a track unless there's...
Unless they're pet pigs with them, you know? And it's just like people think Mariah Carey's hard work. You know, you have not met a diva until you've met some of these thoroughbreds. But I've got so many, not just yourself, but and you do have a very solid performance background, Mick, but I've got just great people from the racing industry that came in and auditioned, and they're peppered through the film. One of my favourite is Chris Reese, whose father, Frank, won the 1973 Melbourne Cup and actually rode as a Filipino because it was not at that time okay to say that you were an Indigenous Australian jockey.
There you go.
So you are joking.
So he used to say he was Filipino.
Incredible.
And he plays, he's got a couple of scenes in the film. He drives a bus down in Frankston and all the kids that get on the bus are like, is your movie out yet, Chris? I saw you in the trailer. Is your movie out yet?
Well, it's beautifully cast, if I may say so myself.
It is. And we are very proud of Mick.
And what about Michelle? I mean, let's just look at it. She's seen the film and she loves the film. She's done so much for women and race. You're in a horse with Michelle.
I'm in a horse with Michelle as well.
Are we in the same horse?
I don't know if we're in the same horse.
Are you there with the netballers from Ballarat as well?
I'm with their mums from Ballarat and other groups. So she's, don't worry. Oh, I'm with the old school friends from Ballarat.
It sounds like a match race if ever I've seen one.
It does. But what it's inspiring and what I like about it is that it's a women's only syndicate. And I like that aspect to racing as well because, you know, and you don't have to have millions of bucks. It's just people being involved and going along. Enormous fun.
It's a day out, isn't it? It's an excuse to get out of the house, hang out with
your mates. And everybody loves dressing up and you put on, you know, a flower in your hair.
But we got skin in the game. We get our little reports. We get our little videos of what's happening up there in the paddock.
One of the other things I love about the Melbourne Cup, if you're in Melbourne, you're so used to being getting your public holiday and it being absorbed into your year. But if you ever get the chance to experience either interstate or overseas, it's a very special occasion. As we mentioned Changi, we mentioned others. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you'll find a transistor or a radio
and
you can be on a beach in Thailand.
Yeah.
Or you can be up a mountain in Nepal, or you can be somewhere. It's amazing ability to huddle around a transistor for this one moment. I remember watching it up in Kakadu. We were on a Ranger uranium mine, and all the workers were there. There was one bar, and all the girls who'd been there had been up there for months. They had a special day for Melbourne Cup, and you had to dress up. And I saw some of the finest dressed people, and like all these miners who were in suits, all the women who looked gorgeous. And for them, it was just a break from their normal routine. And they all came. They all got smashed in the true tradition. But they were there watching the race, looking at the race in the middle of nowhere. And you go, you know, this has pull.
It's always been that. If you don't get lucky during the race, you might get lucky later.
Correct.
After race five, I find, is generally. So follow anyone carrying their shoes in one hand.
We're very proud on all levels. Yes, I am with Mick. My own sister was involved very much.
She was
in
our
the film.
Wonderful Carrie Kennedy. Production designer.
Yeah. And she had to create a Melbourne Cup, which is no mean feat, I'm sure.
In the middle of winter, tying on her hands and these yellow plastic roses to bushes. I think there was something like 5,000 of them.
That's right, because it had to be November and you were shooting earlier. But everybody, get off your ass and go to the movies. It's really important that you don't hang around and just go, oh, I'll wait till it comes on the telly. I'll wait for it to
be. This is a crowd pleaser. You want to see this surrounded by
people.
And
you want to go with friends, family, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. Go along and support this wonderful Australian film.
Good on you, Rachel. Well done.
Thanks
for your
support.
Something out of nothing.
Great job.
Good on you.
Ride Like a Girl in cinemas September 26th. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And guess what it's time for, Dave?
What? Look at a source close to industry, source insiders, our friends of associates, speculation, room eyewitnesses,
secret plot to push Koshy out.
It's time to call bullshit.
I really want to know what the secret plot is. Koshy is.
You know, I heard a promo for Koshy. He's got podcast one. He's got a podcast. He called himself Dave.
Dave
he
Kosh.
Said, hey, Dave Kosh here. Since when?
He's not Dave.
Called himself
Dangerous Dave.
Dangerous Dave Kosh.
Oh, hang on,
there.
He's pushing in.
Don't even say it. There's already another one in Hobart.
So what's the plot to push Koshy out?
Is it
cash cow involved?
I think so.
I call bullshit. No. Here it is. Yes. What do you got?
No, I'm not doing it today.
What?
I don't know.
It's a Monday tradition, Kennedy.
I know.
Play the opener.
They've let me down. They've let me down.
People are huddled around their wirelesses.
Yeah, this is
going. It's I call bullshit.
It's a tradition.
Time.
I'm sorry.
The men on work sites going. Look, quiet, everybody.
It's not.
Jane's about to do I call bullshit.
It's not up to standard for me. It's things like Kate's mummy makeover.
It is boring.
Well, they're mucking around in the shallow end.
That is shallow end stuff. Who cares about Kate?
Anything about Princess Di? Because that's been going nuts, bonkers.
No, but apparently Meghan Markle has a secret daughter. As I said.
I bet your sister does.
There's something.
I bet your sister's got about eight.
Held.
Sorry, I didn't mean
to
be serious loose. She's just mad.
Yeah.
But then they're all carny folk. Her family is carny folk. You
Can
know
I say,
that, don't you?
You've got to be very careful about speaking about Meghan Markle like that.
Why?
Well, there was a big story on 60 Minutes last night.
Ah.
I'm going to just shift. I'm not going to do...
Oh, you're in a corner now. You've been bagging it for the last 6 months.
No.
Now,
What I find extraordinary is poor Carl, who thought, I'm going to get out of the country, I'm going to do 60 Minutes stories, because he's a great journo, and he said, great. Give me a hard-hitting assignment, everyone. What have I got up my sleeve? Oh, you're going to do some crap story about what a crap princess Meghan Markle is.
Boy.
He goes, hang on a minute. I don't want to go her because they've been hunting her down. It's terrible what they're doing.
Mm.
He said, I know what that feeling is like because I've had to put up with that myself.
That's true.
You are unbelievable.
Why am I unbelievable?
You're defending him before you've even outlined his case.
All right. Okay. You've got to listen to this. So they, producers of his hunt down this stupid, provocative cow called
Katie
Hopkins.
The story is about?
Story is about Meghan Markle is bringing down the monarchy, apparently, because she's not a correct standard that they want in England as a princess.
And Carl's on assignment.
Not good enough.
And he's found, who's he found?
He's found Katie Hopkins.
And she's a staunch royalist.
She
is that a fair...
dial a provocateur. Right? So she is, whatever you, if you want me to be contrary, I'll do that. She's outspoken and she's, you know, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know if you've picked this up. Here's her.
Describing Meghan Markle?
Describing Meghan Markle.
What is she really? She's a no one. She's a divorcee. When did we want a divorcee in the royal family? She wears bad clothes. When did we ask for that? We've just got so much better of our own. Whoop, whoop, off you go.
Okay. Well,
she sounds like fun.
Prince Charles and Camilla, they're divorced.
That's true.
Her information is so poor.
That's a good point.
She's terrible.
She makes a good point. I'm not a big fan of the commoners interloping. That's one thing the royals, I like a bit of royal blood. I really do.
But
call me old school. I like
all right,
some
old
royal
school.
Blood in
really?
The system.
I don't believe
as I said,
you.
She's descended to carny folk. She's decided, I'm about to get kicked off a TV show. I know what I'll do. I'll go in. I'll get a swisho job as a princess. And then I'll be anti-everything. And I won't turn up. And I won't show my baby. Yes,
I do have a great concern.
That Carl's lowered his colours?
No,
Carl on assignment?
Carl should have said, guys, seriously, you're sending me to London to do this story?
Well, there's a lot of people who are saying Carl shouldn't be doing that because Carl has been talking about his
privacy.
Please respect my privacy.
He shouldn't be doing it. He's
Carl's
the wrong
brother,
person.
At least he got in the back of a Jeep and went through Iraq while they were bombing. His brother,
why
big
couldn't
brother,
they send him to a war
takes
zone?
Takes the soft option.
Mm.
No, he doesn't. They send him there.
A hatchet job on an American princess.
Channel 9 is not looking after Carl.
Carl, you need
I'm
to.
Very upset about that.
Carl,
they're
I'm
not
upset
looking
with Carl.
After him. Do you know what I'm worried about too? About Meghan Markle?
What?
There's too many stories coming out that she loves the royal family, was obsessed with it. Too many scrapbooks, too many there's like pictures of her outside Buckingham Palace.
That's
like, fingers crossed.
Okay. did she ever write a handwritten letter to Prince Edward? Would that
who would have done
ever?
That?
Who was that woman? I like her. She'd be a good interview. She'd
Kate
be
Hopkins,
fun.
Well, I will leave
we
the
could
studio.
Just ask her to.
You speak to her.
Why?
And
what's wrong with her?
I can't stand her.
Well, you're pretty
really
similar
can't.
In many ways.
Dave, play a song.
Again,
oh, let's have a listen to it.
Oh, really?
What is she really? She's a no one. She's a divorcee. When did we want a divorcee in the royal family? She wears bad clothes. When did we ask for that? We've just got so much better of our own. Whoop, whoop. Off you go.
Oh, my God.
She's adorable.
What's her name?
Yeah.
Kate Hopkins.
Katie Hopkins.
Kennedy Malloy Hopkins. I'm putting it to you.
All
she
right.
could.
If you ever propose
right, get
her.
Get me out of here, don't.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Well, thanks to Makita. By the way, go to makita.com.au to find your authorised dealer.
It's better than internet porn. That's what I do. I'm going to look at Makita.
Almost said no one ever, except for...
Oh, check out the cordless
Mick, you're blowing my mind. First of all, you're talking about
cordless
being on a keyboard.
Hello.
Did you use a computer? That's very unusual. For Makita, you would.
The cordless brush cutter. Mm.
Do you look up YouTube images of people using Makita on YouTube?
I do. Do you know what you should do?
This will be good.
Why don't you sack 8 of your garden staff at home? Because we all know you've got a house like Downton Abbey, and you've got how many acres would you have on the front in front of the croquet lawn? Yeah. There would be a good 5 hectares.
Okay.
Right.
Do you want to come back to my house when I'm cooking for everybody? And cleaning the house up before the cleaner comes?
You've never cooked for me.
Oh, you missed that much.
Listen, you could sack everyone and do this yourself with the Makita, with everything I'm about to mention.
I could if I pretended I was in Downton Abbey.
Oh, come on. You have a massive...
No, I don't.
You have one of the great parcels of land I have seen. You're a gentrified landholder.
I am a city girl. Why would I have a parcel of land?
You with the timeless classics of the Makita range, like the cordless lawnmower.
Yeah.
Man. Once people hear that buzz,
I love mowing
the whole
lawn.
Of your leafy neighbourhood will light up. There'll be questions. There'll be hubbub. Oh, what's Jane?
Maybe I'll go out in the nature strip in my UGG boots.
She's got a Makita.
Makita.
I'd like to see Makita in billboards. Just
you and a Makita.
What the hell?
What happened to me? Am I there?
You know what? You could use a Makita. Even you.
You know I'm Tradie Janey.
Tradie Janey,
and
would
I
love
only
the
have
Makita.
The finest engineered
Do you know where you always look over in this spot?
What's that, Mick?
The brushless motor wheelbarrow bucket kit. We never give it enough attention.
You're right,
but that's
like the wheelbarrow.
It at the top of our
it's the
page.
Australian. You Mate. Can't do anything without a good old fashioned wheelbarrow.
You could ride in that.
You can could. I tell you? And can I tell you, guys?
What?
If you want to have a go at the Makita, you need testicles that you can put into the wheelbarrow. Have to be that large
women
for you
don't
to operate the Makita. I'm talking to the guys now.
Well, girls want to use it too.
You can be walking around with your wheelbarrow, and you'll need big kahunis because the Makita's top of the range.
But it does it by itself. You don't even have to push
And that can carry up to 130 kilograms.
Suit
that wheelbarrow.
You. That's because it was.
You don't have
you.
To push it.
Well, that's what I'm gathering.
It's like golf buggy technology.
It really is.
That's what I'm believing. I don't believe it.
Sit you in it.
It's power
and
assisted.
And remote control move you around your front gardenage.
Oh, my.
Like you can tour, like when the bus comes past and it's like a celebrity tour. I'll go, ready?
The only thing I hope
go,
is that people understand what an idiot you are.
And then you come out sitting in a wheelbarrow.
I've told you I'm one of the people.
And you're wooshka.
I don't sit in wheelbarrows. I push them.
What if you've got a gin and tonic?
I push them. Will I have an umbrella
up
in it?
In the...
Thank you, Makita.
Yeah, good on you, Makita.
Find your authorised dealer.
Makita.com.au. There's no other one.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
There's no greater achievement in Australian sport than this, as far as I'm concerned. To me, Test cricket, and the Ashes in particular, is the greatest sporting contest
Number one.
In the world.
Wonderful.
It means so much. It's our only truly national sport.
Yeah.
It's a summer sport.
Yeah.
Get rid of all the pyjama stuff.
And beating the Poms is always a great thrill.
This is still the original and the best contest for a silly little urn that means so much between two nations. So well done, everybody. Hard job.
Hard work, they said. They bloody worked hard.
Tall order to do it over there, and they've plotted for this, and they've done well.
You've got
news breaking from?
Well, it's just Rafael Nadal has, of course, won
I'm not as excited about that. Oh. Did he go to the blub?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
but it was like one of those crazy five-setters with Medvedev. But the crowd were not on his side, so I think that's why he went the block.
Not on Nadal's side?
No, not really.
But Medvedev's an idiot.
There was a lot of support for Medvedev.
Didn't he chastise a ball boy earlier?
Well, no, I think, anyway.
Anyway,
Rafael
whatever.
Won, so.
Who cares?
Well, I care.
What,
the
about
US
tennis?
Open.
Do you care about tennis?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah, why? Well, what's wrong with
that? Who's your favourite player? Who's your favourite player?
Roger.
Who do you love?
Oh, God. I know him. I've spoken to him.
Talking of going
I told you about
blub.
That. I've talked to Roger about twins.
Humble brag.
Oh, well, you weren't there?
No, what else?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no,
weren't you there?
I wasn't
weren't
there.
Weren't you invited?
I'm not allowed within 500 metres.
Hey, tomorrow we've got
Thankfully.
Lee Sales
yes.
and two great girls, Heidi Arena and
the Prime
Nikki
Minister
Rake.
Tonight, so.
Oh, yeah,
she's going to be with the Prime Minister. Yeah, Heidi and Nikki, you've got something coming up on Channel 10.
What are they doing?
Pilot Week.
Oh, good
You know how I support that.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up, powered by Makita's cordless power garden range. More power and less noise with one battery across Makita's range of over 200 tools.